You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
You're tuned in to another exciting episode of the Toilet of Hell radio show. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. With me, I've got my co-host, 365 Days of Horror, Edward Aside. And we're bringing you the old school podcast. All three dudes in one room, which is the internet, actually in their own bedrooms, you know, all across the country, but using the internet of the bedroom to discuss all matters metal, politics, humor, puppies. What else do we have on the docket for today?
Butts,
yeah. Do you remember chat rooms? Chat rooms were a thing.
Chat rooms were great. Especially let me rephrase that. Chat rooms
ASL
were great.
ASL pick.
Chat rooms were great if you were an asshole like I was as a child.
Yeah, that's right.
Where you would just like find the subject of a room, like, I don't know, if it was Christian chat, you would go and be like, "Hail Satan." If it was satanic chat, you'd be like, "You're all going to hell." At least that was what I did when I was like 9 years old. I don't know what you guys were up to.
Yeah. No, that's right. That's those are the only two types of chat rooms, actually.
But I had a great time before there was even a word for it, trolling strangers on the internet. I guess you could say that I found my calling early.
Cybersex was always a lot of fun, especially when you're 11 and you have no idea what to say, but you try anyway.
I put on my wizard's hat and robe.
I cast a level 10 hand job spell on you.
It's super effective. Too effective, actually. This sex chat is over.
this is the best best intro so far. I'm happy with that one. We'll keep it.
Well, yeah. What have you guys been up to in the time since we put out probably the best episode we've ever done? So why would we ever try again?
I don't know, man. I full disclosure, I got like the flu today, so if I sound like shit, then that's what's going on. But hey, man, I'm here. I'm gonna do it for you guys because I'm not a little bitch, and nothing puts a pep in my step quite like the promise of talking some shit about the Queens of the Stone Age.
Nice, man. Wait, so did you get a flu shot this year?
No, I was just telling Jordan I did not. I just skipped it. I just didn't think of it at the time, and now it's too late.
Take that, government.
Right.
Well,
yeah. It's because my boy Jose Mangan, what did you share that pic with, what was it, Jenna McCarthy?
Yeah. Apparently Jenny McCarthy has a show on Sirius XM, which is cool to know. I canceled my membership a long time ago, so I haven't really followed up. But apparently Jenny McCarthy has a show on Sirius XM where I guess she talks about being a celebrity in the 90s, or more likely her new role is like the figurehead of the anti-vaccine movement, which is just, I want to be so famous that I can convince people to kill their children by not vaccinating them. Like, that's a level of fame that I want to get to.
That's what ruined Jim Carrey for me, was that whole nonsense.
Were Jenny McCarthy and Jim Carrey together, or am I imagining that? Did I, like...
No, that's...
That, they were married. Happened.
Yeah.
Which one do you think, like, sprung in all the other ones? So, like, I gotta tell you, there's this thing about me. We'll say it on three. And they were both like, vaccines cause autism!
Those three little words.
That's how they knew they would be together for, I don't know, at least a little while.
Alrighty then.
So, yeah, Jenny McCarthy has a show, and Jose Mangan, the Mexican king of all metal, he tweeted out a picture of the two of them together and was saying how much heart and soul she puts into her anti-vaccination Sirius XM show. So
I was going to add them with the outpouring of measles because I thought Jose maybe would be big enough not to notice, but he banned you like right off the bat for saying that.
Yeah, so I checked back later and I think that he unbanned me and most likely just muted me. Like that's which is the pro move. That lets them know that like you're not getting in under their skin enough to like actually go for the ban button. You're just doing a quiet little mute. You can keep talking into the void.
Joke's on him because you have an army of people that like nothing more than to fuck with people.
an army is in like 12 dudes.
That's enough. Rapidly
get banned from Twitter. They're getting banned too quickly to replenish. We need to enlist. We need to have a troll draft.
Or just like move over to Mastodon or some seriously inferior social media platform to do what we will.
What is the one that's like super racist? Is that Gab? Like the
I think so.
Got fed up with like, I can't say the N-word on Twitter. This is tyranny, literal tyranny. So I started a racist social network clone. Please join me on Gab.
We should do that one.
I agree. Yeah, let's get it set up. We need an intern. Get that shit set up.
We're working on that right now.
You touched on this a little bit, buddy, and I stepped over you because I'm a bastard, man. But I guess the big news of like yesterday or the day before was the dude from Queens of the Stone Age being a dill hole again.
Again, like always, perpetually, all the time. So what had happened was he was getting too into the groove.
Wait,
getting
who? Who?
What's fucking Josh Hom? Homie? Hominoid? Hama?
Hominim?
I think it's homie. Like, I had a roommate that was really into... God, that was a terrible year. I had a roommate that was really into Queens of the Stone Age, and he worshipped that guy for some fucking reason. Probably because he... really like drugs way more than music. He called him Josh Homie, so I'm gonna stick with that.
All right, so that's right. He called him Josh Homie as a fan, so we'll stick with that. Josh Homie, yeah. Queens of the Stone Age, Josh Homie. He was getting in the groove, shredding on his guitar with the two power chords or whatever, and then he just he kicked a camera out of some woman's hand that was there photographing professionally, just kicked it out of her hand and right into her face. There's like live video of it. You can see all over the place. And then she had to go to the emergency room for, I don't actually know. I don't know if she needed stitches or not, but just kicked this big expensive camera right into her face for really just totally unprovoked. No reason at all.
That kicks ass, man. That's rock and roll. You know,
that's right.
when you're a 44 year old man, like up on that stage, like it's all about the rock, man. Dave Grohl taught me that.
Maybe he tripped over like the bootcut flare at the bottom of his jeans.
Yeah, possibly.
Can argue that.
There was a mishap involving the hammer loop in his carpenter pants.
Ah.
He was just so excited to be opening up for Muse that he had to kick a human being in the face.
Wait, really? Is that what the show was?
I'm pretty sure it was.
Ugh.
You go from like Mastodon to Muse, like Queens of the Stone Age. I've never really understood why they get recognition in like the metal blogosphere like they really, really do.
So I guess it's because like he was in Caius, but like Caius wasn't good either. And then he had the fucking Dave Grohl connection, because you gotta know Dave Grohl. You gotta play the Grohl toll to get into this boy's hole. He had them Crooked Vultures, just a fantastic band with fucking, was it John Paul Jones? Very, very cool dude. I'm reading his Wikipedia entry now because I was curious about this. And he's been involved with numerous other projects, including Arctic Monkeys, who are just bafflingly successful for I don't get it at all. And a band that I've complained about in the past because I don't think they actually exist. Biffy Clyro.
What?
Biffy Clyro.
They were on Roadrunner, weren't they?
Yeah, something like that. I guess they matter in England or something, but they will never matter here. I remember for several years, South by Southwest, they had a huge street team that would just plaster every fucking surface in Biffy Clyro stickers, like Biffy Clyro is here, like listen to Biffy Clyro. It's like Gabbo, Gabbo, Gabbo. And it's just equally as meaningless. I have never heard a Biffy Clyro song in my life, and I will never listen to a Biffy
Clyro. Don't intend to.
Fucking mark my words on that.
Don't intend to.
I'm going to Rickroll you one day with Biffy Clyro.
And you know what? I won't get it because I won't be like, what is this? It won't make any sense to me.
His mind won't process the information that's coming into his ears.
Josh Homie is a cool dude. In addition to playing rock and roll music, like he believes in the power of rock and roll. He's violently attacked fans in the past, and he loves calling people faggots. That's one of his things. Like, you can Google that word along with his name, and it's just every other word out of his mouth.
So. Every article written, and it's all different. Every search result. But specifically here, this woman, her name was Chelsea Lauren, and Josh Homme, he apologized twice through social media. The first one was kind of this really short paragraph where he just kind of goes into the fact that, hey, you know, I was getting in the groove, the power of rock and roll found me, and I was just kicking all sorts of lighting equipment and
everything else. If it's okay with you, can I read that one word for word? Because I thought it was actually super – super funny and just how half-assed it was.
Absolutely. I'm just paraphrasing, but if you got it, it's that short. You can absolutely read it.
Last night, while in a state of being lost in performance, I kicked over various lighting and equipment on our stage. Today it was brought to my attention that this included a camera held by a photographer, Chelsea Lauren. I did not mean for that to happen, and I'm very sorry. I would never intentionally cause harm to anyone working at or attending one of our shows, and I hope Chelsea will accept my sincere apology. Which isn't true. In the past, he hit a fan with a bottle that he threw from the stage. He said he was going to do it, and then he did it. So he intentionally, of course, caused harm. And again, you're a 44-year-old man, like, lost in the state of rocking. I was just breaking shit, including some dumb chick's camera.
Pucker face ginger fuck.
You were telling me something else happened at that.
Yeah, he later in the exact band set on the same night, he I guess he intentionally cut his face. So clearly we got something involved, drugs, alcohol, probably alcohol if you look at his puffy, stupid mouth. Anyway, so he then called the audience retards. And in the most classy of ways, he yelled, "Fuck Muse," which it's not like I don't agree with that.
But that's actually the one thing about this that I totally agree with.
Yeah, I take away with, fuck Muse. But, you know, they're tickets that people bought and they're there to see them. So, oh, well. So, he's going off about how the power of rock. I was brought to my attention that I just karate fight a woman in the fucking mouth with my stupid, I'm sure, high heel boot, some fucking dumb leather thing with a buckle on the side.
And sorry, I don't know. Sorry for party rocking.
Later, he issued a second apology, and this one was a video. I don't know if you guys have seen the video, but he goes in a bit more depth, and he says a lot more sorries, and he just apologizes to everyone in the entire universe, not just this woman. And he's like, "Well, I gotta do something, you know. I gotta really think about it. What I can do to better myself, things like that." It's like the first step is if you're such a fucking high rolling rocker that you can just break expensive equipment around the stage, maybe you should pay this lady's fucking medical bill. Number one,
probably not fix her camera, you know.
Yeah, buy her a new fucking camera. And it's like if you want to break shit because you're rocking out, like, you know, take one of your thousands of stupid mediocre Gibsons and smash it on the floor. Like, you don't need to go around kicking the stage shit around.
What's your take on it, Jordan?
What other take could there possibly be?
I don't know. I guess I'm mostly just confused that, like, in this day and age, 2017, the year of our Lord, that we're still talking about Queens of the fucking Stone Age, who, right, by all means, were like a one-hit wonder, like, yes, at the very beginning of the 2000s, and I guess they sell a lot of records based on that was kind of the last period for moving records, and they just have the name recognition from that built in. But it's never been terribly interesting to me, man. It's just hard rocking.
I sit and I think about what the one hit was, and I know that I like know what it is, but the first thing that plays in my mind is like Hitchin' a Ride by Green Day, because it wasn't that different.
But, wait, really? Like, okay, how do you figure? I got to spell this out for me because I'm stupid.
Just like so Hitchin' a Ride by Green Day, which is like boop boop ba-doop, boop ba-doop, boop ba-doop, boop ba-doop, which is fucking every Queens of the Stone Age song.
You're absolutely right. That is the same fucking song. But That rules. Cool. The realizer.
Fuck you. Just what a mediocre thing to enjoy. And you know it's going to be on everybody's end of the year list because they put out an album this year and everybody retweeted that stupid music video where he's running around in his Western shirt or whatever he's doing because he sucks. And I don't know why metal fans just trip over themselves to show that they have some sort of alt-rock cred, but they just – I can't help it. They got to show that I listen to all kinds of music.
And that's the thing, like rock and roll is pretty much has been dead for a long ass time, but there's still a couple of really cool bands out there in the rock realm, you know. Like I really love this band called Liquor Store that has four guitarists, and a band called Diarrhea Planet that also has four guitarists. Basically cool things are happening in the realm of rock and roll if you have four or more guitars.
Yeah, if you guys want to, like, just put some rando album that isn't metal on your list, just do, like, Damn by Kendrick Lamar. Because it was
funny. Did
that
come out this year or was that last year?
That was this year, April. I think we got anything in the news world? What's the scoop?
I think the most important thing that's going on right now is that each one of us has had it snow in the past week, which will probably never happen again.
Fucked up, man.
It's fucking crazy. Yeah, it was like snowpocalypse all around.
Yeah, I live in Texas. That's not okay.
No.
None of that's okay.
How much did you get?
I don't know. It wasn't really cold enough to stick on the ground for too long. Like, it was just that night and then the next morning. I would guess, like, maybe 2 inches.
So the entire city was shut down for, like, the past week then?
I guess, man. They didn't make the kids go to school, but I had to go to work like some fucking chump.
Same. Did it, like, terrify you guys? I don't know how often you get snow.
I mean, it happens occasionally. Most of the time what happens here is, like, it's just ice. Like, big sheets of ice, and then people slide around all over the road, and it's actually, like, a bad time. This was nice in a way in that it wasn't really cold enough to stick on the ground. You weren't in danger of, like, sliding all over the road, and it was just big flurries coming down. My dogs were not into this shit, man.
No, most dogs aren't, even up here.
And how's the pugs doing?
Picked up this morning from the animal hospital. Picked up Franklin again. He had another surgery. I left him out of his crate because he had been doing better. So I left him out of his crate, and he used that time to eat a stuffed toy. Like, just swallowed all the stuffing for this stuffed toy. So he had to have another surgery. That's 3 surgeries in about a month. And I am now, like, comically, hopelessly broke. Like, after the first one. The first surgery was like $4,500. I was like, this sucks. And now I'm just like, I'll never have a dollar again.
Yeah, man. He's like you said, he's just got this compulsive issue with just eating trash. Yeah, just whatever he can get his mouth.
That's the thing. Like, it's not totally uncommon with dogs. He's got compulsive behaviors. Some of it he'll age out of, hopefully. But I'm not taking any chances. We're going to the vet this week, and we're getting him prescribed to, like, I don't know, Paxil or like any Xanax, anything. Yeah, because he's got the compulsion, man, and I cannot possibly afford another one of these. And I enjoy his company. I need him around. So
yeah, yeah, it's just like doggy dope of some kind, some kind of canine heroin.
Yeah,
just play him some Queens of the Stone Age.
That's right. Get him mellow right out. Man.
He's going to become insufferable just telling me about the desert sessions.
Keep calling you bro.
Yeah. All the surgeries, all the money's fine, but you draw the line somewhere.
So by the time this episode airs, I think you'll have like a couple hours left maybe to buy the ridiculous Stryborg shirt that I made. if you're listening to this, please buy a shirt. I make like, I don't know, not much in profit from these shirts because like they do all the work of printing and shipping, but it's a little bit and you get a cool shirt and I would really appreciate some help.
Stryborg shit's funny. Have we heard any more from him? Has he tormented you guys any further?
I mean, like, he had that one day where he replied to every single possible thing that he could, and I told him that it's mad that you're funny. It's funny that you're mad, and then he didn't reply anymore after that. Yeah. Aside from saying, I can't believe I'm being cyberbullied. Which is the funniest thing to say.
For background, so or writer Richter just wrote about this new song he put out, and he claimed he had a new genre, and it wasn't like particularly mean. We can go a lot meaner than what was written. And he contacted us through email. He contacted us through Twitter. He contacted us through Facebook. And then it kept going. It wasn't just one day and it was over. It went for like a good solid week.
I'd say it was closer to 2 weeks, actually.
It's like a campaign of war.
Well, yeah, an increase in like severity. It went from email to Twitter to Facebook, and then to like talking to all the commenters that were like, "This is stupid." And he's like, "You're stupid."
At least I create.
I create too. My art is being mean on the internet.
That's right.
Like any mystique that he had of being the spooky guy that lives in the middle of nowhere in Tasmania is just gone.
He's off. Destroyed.
Yeah. He mentioned something about his wife in one of these comments, and I was just immediately like, all right, I don't feel bad anymore. You're not like isolated. You're not a total incel. Like, you at least have somebody that's agreed to share your weird life with you.
Yeah, this poor fucking woman.
You don't have to do this because you're not totally isolated. You're not totally alone. I don't feel bad for you because you're like, there's a lot of these guys that you could potentially feel bad for them because they're otherwise completely alienated from
right
people.
Like lots of signs of a social disorder with some of these guys.
Yeah. And yeah, probably the Sin Banana from Stryborg has some kind of social disorder, but
but
he at least has somebody that's like, you know, understands that and has agreed to share their life with him. So
his biggest fan.
So after I realized that was when I made the silly shirt.
Good.
Speaking of silly, have you heard the new Ministry song about Antifa?
I gave it about 10 seconds, maybe 15. How about you?
It's so bad. Everything about it's bad.
I can only assume that it's like negative.
No.
About Antifa.
No. He's just got... Okay, so... Where do we start with Ministry? Should we start with this song, or should we go back first?
I think going back to give context and to show just how ridiculous it all is.
Where can we immediately end with Ministry?
Hey! All right, see you next week, everybody.
See you everybody next week.
Ministry started as a synth pop band, and that's kind of probably where they should have ended it. But instead, Al Jorgensen, like, kind of fell in with a metal crowd and started creating harsher industrial music and getting face tattoos and doing lots of crack.
And, oh, yeah.
I think in one of the most infamous stories about Ministry, like he started wearing diapers on stage because he would just shit his pants, like, because he was so strung out on dope. I'm not sure if he later like recanted that or not, but he said it at one point, so it's funny.
It's now just in history.
Yeah. Yeah. It's in the pantheon of dumbass rock star moves. So it was around, I think it was 2004. He put out the first of a trilogy of records with Houses of the Mole, followed by Rio Grande Blood and The Last Sucker. That was between 2004 and 2007. These were anti-George W. Bush records. It was his trilogy about how George W. Bush is a bad man, which I agree. He was a bad person.
Yeah.
His administration was bad. Everyone involved with it was bad. We're still suffering the effects of the worst of it. The war in Iraq is still going on.
Yeah, man.
It will never be the same.
We're still suffering the effects of ministry.
That too.
It's terrible.
But like, so he had this, you know... you know, harsh political edge at the time. You know, we'll get more into that later. But then he was like, well, once he left office, it felt like an ulcer was gone. So, like, he originally quit. The band stopped in 2008 after they finished that record and went on a couple of tours. But, like, he didn't really have anything else going on, so he made a couple more records, like, while Obama was in office that weren't politically charged. And then
they, well, let me just jump in a little bit, but not to the point of the past few records. Like, if you look on
99, he had that 99% song
and like Perma War. So like stuff was kind of there, but nowhere near as, hard as the past couple albums.
The the only Ministry song I've ever heard in my whole life is just like A New World Order, bah, bah, over and over again, 47 times. It's the only song I've ever heard.
There are people I know whose opinion that I respect who have told me to listen to Ministry, and I've listened to the records that they've told me to listen to, and I'm just like, what the fuck are you hearing for? That I'm not getting this here. But that's fine. Something for everybody. But like in interviews, he had said basically like, well, Bush is gone, so this ulcer is gone. Like, things aren't so bad anymore. Things are looking up. So my opinion, nobody has to agree with me, but I think, you know, perhaps the administration under Obama wasn't so great, aside from a couple of strides for maybe, you know, civil rights. Aside from that, things really didn't get any better. That's my opinion. People are free to, you guys are free to disagree with me. So I think it's just kind of like politically weak that now he's back in the game after quitting the band for like the fifth time. That he's putting out a new record that's very much in the same anti-George W. Bush vein, just in the same... It's for Trump now, because he's a Republican who's president. And, well, obviously he's bad. He's a Republican who, you know, runs the country. Nothing good is going to happen to that. But it's... his quote with it... That one, by the way, is called America-c-c-can't. So it's like American, but Americant, and then he takes the Ice Cube thing with calling it America, like with the KKK thing, because it's a racist nation.
Sick.
Yeah, it's a thinker. He says, it's going to provide FEMA-type relief for the devastation Hurricane Cheeto has brought upon us. And I don't think I need to tell you fellas that, because we probably talked about it on the show, but my house was filled with people that their homes were destroyed by Hurricane Harvey earlier in the year, and FEMA gave them the financial assistance and the support and like this entire network of housing to make sure that they could actually have a place to live and food to eat. It was essential disaster relief for people that really needed it. So this record, number one, isn't going to bring FEMA-type relief for anybody because it's a fucking record. It's not real material support for anybody, you fucking self-righteous cunt.
Not to mention that we're not even back to sea yet on the fucking hurricane names, so get it together.
Yeah, and another thing, like Hurricane Cheeto. Get it? Because he's orange, President Cheeto.
Shit.
Jeez, there is so much that you can make fun of Donald Trump for. He is the fattest, oldest, dumbest president. He doesn't have two fucking brain cells to rub together. Like, he is actually a moron. He's a fucking game show host carny that somehow won office and has filled his entire administration with the dumbest people on earth. People that, like, tried to grift and somehow stumbled over their own dicks into a successful grift. There's a lot to work with, but, like, he's a Cheeto. Fucking... What year is this? Try harder, you asshole. Sorry. He put out a video for the first single for the record today. It's called Antifa, and it's a really fun... It's just bad, man. So he's ostensibly in support of Antifa. In the video, he and his bandmates are all wearing masks, and it's real. I actually believe it's kind of a false flag.
You think so?
Yeah, because I think
you bring up a good point, because some people actually don't know this, but Al Jorgensen's been on InfoWars multiple times.
Yeah. Just, we know how the InfoWars type feels about Antifa. They would like them to be, you know, murdered in the street. He's made the, you know, Antifa isn't an actual organization, it's an ideal. And what he's talking about really with Antifa is actually a black bloc. You know, people wearing all black and masks and committing, political violence, mostly property damage, which isn't actually super bad, in a group together to keep somebody from being identified to allow them to make this happen, this direct action. So if you ask me, like, wearing all black and, like, breaking windows in a big group with your buddies sounds pretty cool, right? Like, he somehow made this look super, super lame. So I'm saying he's a cop. He's a cop and it's a false flag.
That's right. He's there, like, the not a cop Twitter.
There aren't, I've been looking for the lyrics for this. They're not quite out yet, but I was able to, like, stumble across their pledge music and got a few sentences out of it. And I'm not going to pay them money to read the rest of it. But the song starts out, "I've got something to say to you. I'll back it up with my fist. Sick and tired of dealing with assholes. That's why I resist. We're not snowflakes. We are the Antifa. Right wing is in free fall."
So this is, and it's just such a fundamental disconnect of his politics. Like, there is the Venn diagram of, like, Hillary diehard hashtag resistance types and black bloc Antifa dudes. It does not touch at all. These are hardcore anarcho types, Marxist Leninists, you know, that have real beefs with the Democrats, I would say. So it's a strange thing.
I think he's just trying to get anyone who doesn't like Trump with this, and it's not working. As of right now, the video has, I think, 1,000 likes and 2,000 dislikes, and the comment section is just like a trash fire.
I can only imagine.
Yeah,
like, well, more than YouTube usually is.
I saw that Metal Sucks had posted about this, so I clicked on it because there were a bunch of comments, and I just, it's methadone, man. I can't quit it. So it's just the regular trash fire that's there is, like, liberals and, you know, the Hitler Youth that typically comment on Metal Sucks articles. They're all in agreement. Like, Antifa sucks. They should all be murdered.
So. Sometimes I do fantasize about it. Just, I mean, I know this isn't how this works, but I do just kind of wonder, you know, just for the sake of wondering, like, what it would be like if just everybody collectively shut the fuck up. You ever thought of it? Just,
you know, if it wasn't for this show, like, I would keep so many opinions bottled in, because the hard and fast rule of life of everything is you don't actually have to say anything. As a matter of fact, your life will probably be better if you don't.
Right.
I open myself to getting into trouble by opening my stupid mouth and letting my dumbass opinions out into your eardrums.
Right. So. And it's stuff I don't even mean at the time, like, you know, later in life. Like, I'll look at things I tweeted a week ago and I was like, what was my problem? I don't think I'm going to feel that way about ripping on Josh Homme for being a dad rock fucking mediocre prick, but I'll probably feel bad about maybe something else down the line.
What if you have a kid and suddenly you're just like, I get it now, man. I get this music. It speaks to my dad's soul.
Right. But it's like, people need to understand where that political stance is really coming from. People will come up and be like, oh, you're just a centrist. You just have privilege because you're white and have a problem. And then my response is, shut the fuck up. shut up. Just what's your shut up? Stop it.
So, I mean, like, there is an idea that if you were to unite the people who don't like Trump, which is roughly 75% of the country, like, it's a ridiculous number.
Go figure.
They could do cool things. The problem is that, like, nobody agrees on anything within that chunk, because Trump is so completely transparently stupid and corrupt that it's really, really difficult. You have to drink a massive amount of Kool-Aid to deceive yourself into thinking that this guy is going to do anything good for you at all. Or you're a billionaire, in which case any Republican's gonna fucking butter your biscuit, dude.
And it's like, I mean, I think deflection is like the political strategy of toddlers, and they do it all the time. But like, most smart people I know had zero drive to support Hillary Clinton at all. You know what I mean? It's just to collectively get all of these, like, good, smart, intelligent people who know what's best for the country together to, like, vote for that lady and everything else. It's just, you know, it's like a huge fuck pile. Whereas every single moron I know loves Trump. Like, they just collectively all agree that that's what all their collective hive mind just says together. It's one big collective red check, and it's just over.
Yeah. It's what kills me about the Trump supporter really is like the memes that they share, where Trump is just like this glistening, rippling, muscly monster, like with a sword, like protecting Christianity from like the infidels. It's like, are you seeing the same fucking fat sack of shit in a suit that I am?
You know he doesn't give a shit about you.
Who's that political cartoonist who like drew Trump all thin and tall, draining out the swamp? Ben Garrison.
Ben Garrison, yeah. That guy's he's a champion. True champion. That guy has holes in his brain. Like what I heard when I was a kid was that if you do ecstasy, like it takes literal like ice cream scoops of matter out of your brain, which I hope isn't true because I did a lot of ecstasy when I was younger.
Oh shit!
Which might explain why I'm dumb now, but like he did.
Might explain why you're a liberal.
I'm again not a liberal.
You're on Libby. Ben Garrison is like a parody of himself consistently.
Yeah.
That guy is not self-aware at this point. I don't even know.
No, it's cool. Like Ben Garrison, he draws like this strong jaw and like huge glistening muscles and like the biggest bulge in his pants. You know, he's got that big old presidential hog.
Not that I don't want to talk about presidential hog. But just going back to that Antifa song, it reminded me of, I think, right after when Trump was elected, what's her name from the Dresden Dolls said that, like,
Amanda
Ball. She was just like, it's going to be bad, but it's going to be a great time for rock and roll. And this song just came out.
A great time for me, specifically Amanda Palmer, who receives like $50,000 a month from my fans. I don't even need the money. Shit. But that brings us to crowdfunding, right? Right? Am I right?
Right. Yeah, right. Yep. You're right.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, yep. You see this? You heard about this? Have you heard about this Patreon thing?
Oh, yeah. I didn't see anybody unsubscribe.
I did.
Did you? That sucks. I'm sorry.
Yeah. we lost a few subscribers on our Patreon, which is like, you know what, I totally get it. I am very, very appreciative of anybody that wants to donate any amount of money whatsoever to the Toilet of Hell Patreon. That means the world to me. Nobody has to do it, and I'm very, very thankful that anybody does.
Right. You can't get pissed at a guy who's been giving you money for 6 months and then just decides that, you know. And this is also like the worst possible time because it's Christmas season now for them to do this shit. So easy for people to look for ways to save money.
I understand, man. Like I support several Patreons and like kind of hurting financially at the moment. If you would believe it.
I believe it.
Now Patreon they've decided that what they're going to do is rather than taking their processing fees from creators, which they currently do. So let's say that the Total of Hell Patreon makes $420 a month, which it used to. Nice smoke weed. They would take roughly, I would say, 16% of that, maybe a little bit more, in various fees for basically doing all the work of processing these payments, which processing payments online is a very difficult thing to do. That's why there's only two or three companies that really do it. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the thing that why Patreon exists. Like it processes payments. It allows people to connect with independent creators that they like and give them a little bit of dough. I saw a really, really interesting breakdown of data of how much money creators make with Patreon. So I believe you would need to make about $1,200 a month on your Patreon to equal making a minimum wage at 40 hours a week. Only about, I believe it was 10% or less make that amount or more of Patreon creators.
You know, it's really interesting that it's. I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's so interesting that like you really have no way to thrive creatively in capitalism. You're always in somebody's pocket,
Go ahead. Sorry.
I just saw in this we saw this with YouTube just a few months ago when they just dumped advertising on everybody, and the people that weren't totally 1000% advertiser friendly, got all their videos demonetized. So people that had YouTube as their livelihood, they sort of switched over to the Patreon platform because it was a way for them to provide their fans with content and have their fans support them because they like them. And now Patreon is fucking everybody instead. And it's just like, you really have no recourse. If you're dealing with a multi-million dollar corporation, they're going to do the multi-million dollar corporation thing.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, because when you're an independent creator, you're beholden to a lot of platforms, and you just kind of have to hope. You have to hope that they want to do what's in your best interest, which, I mean, you, as my stepdad used to tell me, you wish in one hand, you take a shit in the other, and you let me know which one fills up first. Because they're in the business of making money, appeasing shareholders, increasing their valuation so that they go public, any number of these things. So what's best for you, the little guy, is never the same thing for them, which leads us to Patreon's latest decision. They are changing the way that that money is processed, or at least fees are processed. They were framing this as, we're going to make this change to make it better for the creator. The creator is going to take 95% of their pledge from here on instead of like 80 or 85%, which, if you just say that, I'm like, cool, that's great. And instead, what they're doing is they're passing that cost on to the person pledging their hard-earned dollar to the creator. So the way it works is they're adding a 2.9% fee on top of what you pledge, as well as a 38-cent charge. So I think the most interesting way that somebody laid this out was, if you pledge a dollar, right, you give a dollar to the toilet of hell, whereas before you would spend a dollar and I would get maybe 80, 85 cents out of it. Now you're going to spend, I believe it's $1.39, $1.40. So I'm still going to get 95% of that dollar. I'm going to get 95 cents now, but now Patreon gets, you know, they get 45 cents. Essentially, I get 69% of the entire charge that you've been feed.
Right. You don't get the 95% of that entire charge. You just get the 95% of the proposed dollar. It's so fucking confusing.
A lot of creators, they depend on, you know, people that don't necessarily have a huge pledge, but there's a number of them, you know, and it helps pay their bills. It helps them create the thing that you like. That new change is really going to stymie it. So what's most upsetting about this is I've seen so many people, you know, publicly pleading with Patreon, like, please let me just eat the charge for my patrons. I don't mind paying more to you guys in the end. Just if you do this, they will drop their support, which it's been happening in droves for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people.
Most people don't have a fuck ton of money. No shit, asshole.
people have lost the amount of money that, like, you make in a month, like in the last couple days.
The thing that hasn't been discussed that Patreon won't say publicly is that their new business plan, because they've secured a lot of funding recently, their new business plan involves on relying entirely on mega creators, people like Chapo Trap House that take in like more than $1 million a year through Patreon. Like, they want more mega creators, and they're trying to phase out essentially dudes like us that don't really make enough money for them to make it worth their while. This seems horrifically short-sighted for a number of reasons. Number one is, like, people were saying really nice things about Patreon for a long time. They're like, wow, this is great. This is an option for me, a little guy that can make a little bit of money doing my little art that a couple of people love. Instead, putting all of your eggs in the basket of people that, honestly, they're making enough money, they could probably do this shit without you at that point. They can find another place. They don't need Patreon. You were a payment processor, dude. You got high on your own supply.
Yeah, man, and it's like people are just gonna take a hit. Like, not just the people that subscribe every month are gonna stop giving them money, but the creators are gonna stop using Patreon as a platform. They're gonna find an alternate. They're gonna jump ship, and when that happens, all that money goes with them. And those little nickels and dimes, man, they add up. Anyway they want to spin it, it's gonna hit them in the stocks, you know.
Yeah, and I personally, I think that that's great. What we really need is we need to not rely on capitalism to solve this problem. We need we need an independent co-op really to make this happen, or a nonprofit to help create this thing that we've seen can exist, but won't exist for long because, you know, the interests of capital don't want it to be that way.
Right. I mean, you can't, when people go out and they get like, I don't want to say real jobs, but it's the only thing I can say. When people go out and get real jobs, I mean, you work for these companies doing something that has been an industry for like 40, 50 years. And even I will always, give up the fact that that's not always reliable. People get laid off all the time. That sort of shit happens. But if you're relying on something that's going on the internet and something that's like running on the speed of the internet, Patreon might not even be here in 5 years. You know what I mean? Might be sold off, might be sold to just like Tom from MySpace selling it for a fucking song. It's just, that's how the internet works. Something better might come along and might uproot everything, or the laws will change. You know, maybe we're going to have this bullshit the FCC is trying to pull is going to change things. You don't know. So it's just like really unreliable and scary that a lot of these people depend on this for their livelihood and they can just change in a second.
You know, when you're saying these things, I'm just like, oh, we need to do this, we need to do that to make this better. We need a new internet, one that is truly neutral and not monopolized by, you know, three companies, triopolized, oligopoly. Oligopoly. We need the ability for, you know, artists to make money from art without dying. That'd be a cool thing. I'd love it if bands like didn't have to, you know, starve.
Be nice. We just have like an oversaturation of cool kids, I think. Everybody's trying to be cool and hip and artsy. Someone's gotta stop it. Some of y'all mediocre types, knock it off. Let the big boys play. Like, Toilet of Hell, we're great. Some of you guys, not so much.
Yeah. What's your take, Jordan?
I'm just curious. Like, there's no incentive for a patron to sign up for anything now, really. Because, you know, I don't sign up for anything now. Why should I if I know my money's going to someone else other than the person I want to support?
Yeah.
Like, all it is just a money grab from Patreon, really.
Yeah,
I get.
They definitely started off with the frame like more goes to the creator, but that's not true. That's not true.
No.
So it's just a naked money grab. You know, your $5 is no longer $5. It's like $5.95.
It's like all the hidden fees you get with like your phone or your cable bill, processing fees, billing fees. It's the same thing.
I mean, maybe a little devil's advocate-y, I guess, if that's the way to say that, devil's advocate-ish of me, but just like if you're giving someone a dollar, I don't see how giving them $1.38 is like, yeah, it's pocket change, you asshole. But I guess people were arguing, well, if you give $100, it's not a big deal because it's only like, you know, $100, $103. But if it's a dollar, it's a big deal. It's 38 cents. And I'm just like, wait a minute, are we using the same kind of math on Earth here? You know?
Yeah.
But I don't want my 38 cents or my $3. I was ever going to a website that's taking money away from the people I like.
Yeah, but if you pull your subscription, then you're taking the money away from the people you like.
Yeah, it sucks. It's the little person always gets screwed. I get it. Yeah. Like, I get that the cost needs to come from somewhere because there is a fee associated with credit card companies. Like, transactions cost money. If you go to a little independent grocer, like, you most likely see that sign like $5 minimum.
Yeah,
because they're being charged, I don't know, it's roughly about 39 cents per transaction to deal with Visa or to deal with MasterCard. Yeah. But the cool thing that Patreon did is, like, if you have, you know, five different subscriptions for a dollar to five different podcasts every month, they're just charging that card once. There's only the one transaction fee. What they're doing is they're artificially, like, expanding how much that they're actually spending just in taking more.
Oh, so you get five transaction fees if you were to subscribe to five different people.
No. You only get one transaction fee. They're just charging you five transaction fees. Sorry, I misspoke there. Visa is charging one transaction fee because they count that as one transaction. Patreon is charging you five transaction fees because fuck you.
Yeah, right. Yikes.
So.
Well, we just, I mean, I thank everybody who still supports the Patreon. Anyhow, we don't want you guys to go anywhere. I'm sure this will fix itself soon. Like, there's so much outrage over this that Patreon has to fucking fold at some point. I know they're not. I know right now they're just trying to sweet talk everybody, but it's not working. So I know we see a slight bit of defection, but it's not, you know, I don't think it's most of the people. Most of the people still support you, so we appreciate you guys sticking with it, and hopefully this thing just blows over and things go back to the way they're supposed to.
Yeah, I 100% appreciate everybody again. I totally understand if you have to cancel. That's no big deal, man. I
shut up, Joe.
Yeah, so sorry, but I've heard whispers of a competitor emerging already that's invite only. I believe it's called Drip, so I'll be curious to see what happens with that. I've said it before. I really like Chapo Trap House. That's one of my favorite podcasts, and obviously a lot of people do. I think they're the most successful thing on Patreon. Mm-hmm. They are unhappy about this, and they're probably going to make a move somewhere else. So wherever they go, there's a lot of money to be had wherever it takes them. So I'll be curious to see what happens there. I think a lot of people will follow wherever that is.
Yeah, and this comes down to the mega creators too. I mean, they really have a great opportunity to do the right thing and pull their support from Patreon, because if Patreon's focusing on them, then what better way to stick it to them than to have those very people leave?
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm glad to hear that those guys are hitting the bricks and going somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, the news came as a giant surprise to everyone last week, and then the next day they announced it to patrons. So there's a lot of things to be done, a lot of things to figure out, but a lot of people are thinking about a lot of things. There's going to be something happening soon. Curious to see what happens.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that we got to get on the show that I might have?
Well, I did have an idea, just in case Patreon doesn't work out. You could make a viral video of yourself crying about Patreon taking away your money, and people will just throw money at you without asking questions, apparently.
It was the phenomenon of the milkshake duck. You guys have heard that, right? Everyone loves milkshake duck, the duck that, you know, drinks milkshakes. It's 5 minutes later, we regret to inform you that the duck is racist.
Oh, you guys are talking about this little kid with his stupid nose who deserves to get a swirly.
God.
As a policy, I don't watch viral videos because I don't want to know. I opt out of this part of the cultural zeitgeist, you know?
You puppies are get the fuck out.
Exactly.
They made fun of my racist mama.
But my girlfriend was just explaining to me some of the intricacies of this latest one. So, do one of you guys want to maybe cover the basis?
I mean, honestly, this kid just had a cell phone stuck in his weepy face about the fact that he was getting bullied at school and made fun of how he looks. And everybody just had this overwhelming love and support for the kid. Actors, Mark Ruffalo or whatever, fucking invited him to the premiere of the next Avengers movie. I don't know if we're up to 8 Avengers movies now, but it's probably that much. And so like UFC fighters were inviting him to shows. This kid's getting talk show spots, everything. And then like 5 minutes later, somebody found like how his mom has like racist Facebook pages that she made, like worshiping the Confederate flag. And there's pictures of this very kid, like proudly holding the Confederate flag with his stupid face that deserves to be bullied. So,
Sorry, go ahead.
They had started a GoFundMe because, you know, why wouldn't you? The kid needs to, you know, cry into dollar bills. So, they got $55,000 last I checked. Probably more now.
That kicks ass, because what my lady was telling me is that apparently, like, he was getting bullied basically in retaliation for like throwing around racial slurs.
Yeah, that's probably what was happening. And this piece of shit weather-skinned mom just put her dumb iPhone in his face while he was going, damn black kids, they said I was a nerd. Shut up. Idiot, you're going to grow up to suck like everybody else.
So the lesson is, don't believe anything. Everyone is terrible. But we're great, so give us money.
That's right.
I mean, we're...
Yeah.
We're not even that good, man.
We're neutral, okay.
Chaotic neutral. That is our official standing in the D&D table.
This kid's mom deserves to be put in a locker and gas bombed.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to another thrilling episode of the Toil of Hell Radio Show. We'll see you next week.
All right, man. Stay metal.
Bye.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.